Geraldine, thanks very much. So we're in the season of Lent at the moment, you'd have noticed, I'm sure. And over the course of Lent, we're going to be looking together, thinking about some of the core disciplines of the Christian life. They're things that we focus on particularly during the season of Lent, but actually they're practices that should accompany us and inform the way we live out our discipleship of Jesus always. So the things are, you looked at it last week with Marcus, he was here for Cafe Church, looked at the theme of prayer, how we can exercise our relationship with Jesus, communicate with God through him, prayer. We're looking next week at the theme of fasting, and boy, is that a misunderstood thing in the Christian life. We're going to be thinking about that next week. And this week, we're thinking about the theme of generosity. So that impulse that comes from within us to share the resources that we have with others who are in need. To share the resources that we have in order to minister grace to others and to facilitate the spread of the gospel in God's world. So those are the things we're going to be looking at today. And as we ready our hearts to do that, why don't you join me in a word of prayer? Father, we thank you for these words of Jesus that we've just read together, Lord. We see in them life, an invitation to life. Open our hearts, I pray, this morning by your Holy Spirit. Lord, that we might not be hearers only of the word, but also doers. And we pray that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, if you've got a Bible somewhere around you, I reckon pulling it up is a good idea. So page 970 in your pew Bibles. And as you do that, I'm going to make a quick confession. I was never very good at science at school. I don't know if it's just because I wasn't good per se, or I just didn't enjoy it too much. I never paid much attention. Tends to be the case, doesn't it? When you don't pay attention, you're not very good. But one of the things in science that really did grab my attention and really did fascinate me was the whole theme of how vast the universe is. We live in a big place, don't we? God's creation. So our world is huge, isn't it? And our world is situated within a massive solar system. And that solar system is just a tiny part of a much bigger galaxy. And that bigger galaxy is one not of millions of other galaxies, not of billions of other galaxies, but of trillions of other galaxies. I mean, that's a number that we can't even begin to get our heads around. In fact, the whole thing is based on, you know, mathematical models. We don't really know how big the universe is. So vast is it? And that's an amazing thing to think about, isn't it? The vastness of God's creation. I think here in our reading, Jesus says something here. He makes a claim which I think is even more amazing than the vastness of the universe. Jesus says that even amidst the vastness of the universe, verse 4, God sees us. Now, I just want you to stop for a second and think about what that means. It doesn't say just that God sees the world of men amidst the vast universe. I mean, that would be amazing as it is, wouldn't it? But God sees you. He notices you. He notices the things that you do. And we're told here in this reading that our living generously brings delight to God's heart such that he rewards it. Soak in that this morning. Soak in that in this moment. You can live to please God. I mean, look, that is an amazing truth, isn't it? And if we can live in such a way as to please the Almighty Creator of the whole universe, then that should direct the way we live our lives, shouldn't it? Give me a nod if you think that's true. Of course it should. Yesterday was Teddy's birthday. I didn't want to embarrass him earlier because he was here. He's gone now. I can say what I like. One of the things about your children, because they're precious to you, for those of us who have children here, you'll know this, because they're precious to us, there's almost nothing sweeter in life than doing things that bring them joy. It's true, isn't it? Seeing the smile on their face, seeing that joy, it gives us joy too, doesn't it? Some people here particularly like the royal family. I'm looking over there in that corner there. Imagine if somebody said to you that today you could do something that would make King Charles's day. You'd want to do it, wouldn't you? We can live to please not just our children, not a mere man like King Charles, the creator of the universe. That should direct the way that we live our lives. That's the first thing I want to say. Now, notice here in verse 2 that Jesus, he simply assumes that we are living generously if we're his followers, doesn't he? He doesn't leave it to, he just assumes that we are. Look, so when you give to the needy, not if you give to the needy, when you give to the needy. Not an option, an extra. Just the normal expression of those who see their possessions for what they really are. Because, my friends, I'm sure you know this, but we often don't live like it. Every single thing that you have in your life that brings you any kind of joy or any kind of comfort or any goodness is a direct gift from the hand of a gracious God. That's where it comes from. It's a blessing from him, everything that you have. And so if he is generous and we are his disciples, well, then of course we want to live in the groove of that, don't we? Of course we want to reflect his generous character. Where we see need, where we have resources by which to bless somebody else, of course we want to do that, right? It's just obvious. That is why God delights in generosity, because it is our imaging of him in this world. He's generous. Everything in this world that's good comes from him. And we get in line with that and behave in the way that he does. And so become children of the Father. He loves generosity. But you'll notice as well, as Geraldine read, maybe you've read this passage before and you've pondered this before, there is a danger in generosity, isn't there? In giving to those who are in need. Continue reading in verse 2. When you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets. Everybody, look how good I am. As the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honoured by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. Verse 3, but when you give to the needy, right, don't be like them, but when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Now look, Jesus here, it's always important, particularly in the Sermon on the Mount, that sometimes there are moments in which Jesus uses very visual and hyperbolical, metaphorical language. It's always important you don't get trapped in that and over-literalise. So on your way out of church this morning, if you're going to put some money into the basket, we value that, we thank you for that. This doesn't mean that you need to make absolutely certain that nobody sees you, right? That you wear some kind of invisible cloak or wait for everybody to leave the church before you do so. That would be a bit absurd, wouldn't it? Jesus sometimes, he uses language that is a bit absurd in order to illustrate a point. Your right hand can't do something without your left hand knowing about it. You know, that's not physically possible. But you see what Jesus is saying here, don't you? You can see what he means. That it is possible to live generously for the applause of others. It's possible, isn't it? Look at me, everyone. Look how good I am. To do good things for my own gain. Yeah? Not because of a heart of compassion, not for love, but because it's good for me, because it makes me look good. Jesus calls that kind of behaviour hypocritical. Now, look, that's an interesting word, the word hypocrite, because in its original context, so in the world in which Jesus spoke it, the word hypocrite, I don't know if you know this, it literally just meant an actor, a stage performer. It referred to the kind of mask that, you know, the mask that you see in kind of Venetian plays and things that people wear on stage. Yeah? It referred to that. And Jesus takes that very everyday life thing and he coins a new term, hypocrisy. Presenting one way, but the reality is another. Friends, we don't want to live hypocritically, do we? We don't want to present one way, but the reality is another. And yet it's so tempting to live that way, isn't it? You see it with these great kind of philanthropists, don't you? And people who make a massive song and dance about what they give and how they contribute to society. But really the aim is themselves, their own applause. Sometimes even worse, actually, it's to bolster their own economic financial interests, isn't it? Jesus says, if you do that, you've received your reward in full. The applaud that you've received from others, that is your reward. That's what you've got. But friends, if you live for the applause and approval of others, then you're missing the best thing in life. Because God sees. Right? Why would you live your life for the cheap applause of other people when you can live your life for the joy of Almighty God? He sees. He sees. And he rewards, we're told by Jesus. He rewards in the next life, yes, but also in this life. Did you know that? Did you know that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him? He's a rewarder of those who reflect his character in this world. Imagine, if you will, an amazing mountain spring. And just think of it. It receives water from the rain, from the sky. It comes down as a free gift. And it flows out in all these amazing rivers. And these rivers are teeming with life and with algae and fish and butterflies everywhere. And they go out and they give life to others. That's a good picture of what it is to live generously. As we receive blessings, if we pay it forward, there is life and joy and further blessing. But now imagine a stagnant pond. It receives exactly the same water, doesn't it? But because it has no outlet, it begins to stink and it's lifeless. And as it continues to receive the water, that very water becomes to it even more stagnation and lifelessness. Friends, I don't want to be like a stagnant pool. I want to be like that mountain spring. The blessings that I receive, to pass them on. And so this morning, let me ask you a question. Are you living generously with the resources that God has given you? Now, look, I know that we don't live in a particularly affluent area. It's true, isn't it? But you know, God doesn't care what you do with resources that you don't have, right? But God does care what we do with the resources that we do have, with the blessings that he has given us. How are we using the things that God has given us? Do you know, each and every person sat here this morning, all of you looking at me, every single one of you, bar none, has received blessings from God. However many or however little, how are we using those blessings? Now look, it's important to note, I'm not just talking about money here. Money's important, isn't it? But I'm not just talking about money. Time, our talents, our gifts, these are all important ways in which we can reflect God's generous heart to others, aren't they? But money is important too. It is, isn't it? Because the way that we spend our money tells us what our priorities are, doesn't it? Yeah? Now look, I'm not talking necessarily about that money that's kind of set aside for our basic necessities, you know, rent and council tax and water and these sorts of things, but the disposable income that we have, what we spend that on, tells me everything about what you value, doesn't it? That great preacher, Billy Graham, you'll have heard him. I mean, what an amazing guy. He once said that if you were to give me 5 minutes with somebody's checkbook, I could tell you where their heart is without even knowing them. Now, we don't use checkbooks anymore, I don't. But you get the point, don't you? The way that we use our resources tells us where our heart is. And friends, there's so much need out there in the world, isn't there? There's so much need within our own parish. There's so much need within our wider town. There's need within this church as well. You know, people imagine that because we're in the Church of England, we've got some kind of money tree that sustains the ministry that goes on in this church. Or even worse, more stupidly than that, even actually, that the government fund the ministry of this place. Or some kind of central pot. That's not true, right? The ministry of this church is funded by you guys sat in these pews this morning. And you know, there are so many things that we can be generous towards, but I do genuinely think, I ask myself, how can there be anything more important than the bringing of the gospel to a parish and the people that need to hear about Jesus? And that's what you contribute towards. And look, there are many of you here this morning who give generously to make this possible so that the gospel can go out. Huge thank you to you. And if you're here today and as I'm saying these things, you're thinking, oh, do you know what? Actually, I haven't yet been generous towards God and towards the ministry that happens in this church in the way that I know God would want me to. Go and chat to Paul afterwards. Where are you, Paul? There he is. He'd have a lovely smile to hear from you. But it's thinking, how can I honour God with the blessings that he has given me so that I can become that mountain spring flowing outwards in generosity? And ponder this, it's not about the amount. That doesn't matter. It is about partnering with what God is doing in this place. That's what matters. Do you know, in the Bible, it doesn't say anywhere that God loves money. All of the money in the world is his anyway, isn't it? It doesn't say anywhere that God needs money. It's all his. But the Bible does say that God loves the cheerful giver. God loves the cheerful giver because the cheerful giver images his generous heart, and God rewards those who are generous. That's what Jesus says. He says it here in black and white. Now look, many of you here this morning, you'll know from your own experience that God rewards us when we give generously to him. And sometimes actually we give generously to God at great cost to ourselves, and we find that he provides in just the most amazing ways, miraculous ways even. I'm going to tell you this. I don't want you to kind of refer this back to me. I just want you to reflect on this. Look, we're a family of six. We're a single income, and oftentimes, you know, we get to the end of the month and money's tight because it is for everyone, isn't it? And sometimes I sit there and I say to Lucy, look, can we actually afford to continue giving generously towards the work of God's kingdom? And sometimes it's like, I don't know. And then often we just get this sense from God that, no, look, you can trust me. You can trust me. I bless, I reward those who live generously. And, you know, every time we have that conversation, God always provides in the most amazing way. And that is the reality, and that is the truth that God's people have lived for thousands of years, that God, when we're generous towards him, he provides. Can you nod if you know that to be true in your own life? He does. He provides. I'm not saying this to you to reflect on me. I want to reflect this on God's generosity. I'm not asking you to live any differently than I ask myself to live, to rely on him and to testify of his faithfulness and his goodness. I want to just close with a quick word on Lent more generally as a season. I said the word generous so many times, it's kind of got caught in my tongue there. More generally, Lent, people see Lent as a time to give things up, don't they? Put your hand up this morning if you're giving up chocolate over Lent. Oh, Sam, fantastic. Not much chocolate is being given up this morning in the building, right? Now, look, this whole idea that Lent is about giving things up, that's partly true. But the real meaning of Lent is that we set aside certain things that aren't necessary in order to make space for the things that really are. That's what Lent is about. Habits in your life that might be distracting you from focusing on those things that really matter. Maybe for you it's Netflix, certainly it is for me. Are there any costly habits in my life that prevent me from being generous? We spin so many plates, don't we, in our lives. Lent's a time to stop spinning so many plates, focus on the things that really matter. Are there certain plates that we spin, whether it be with the way that we use our time or the way that we use our resources, that don't really matter, but they prevent us from focusing on the things that really do? Let me just offer a moment's silence. We'll think of, ponder together how God is speaking to us, and then I'll close in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your overwhelming heart of love towards us. It is a love that we have not earned, that we cannot earn, and that is expressed to us in so many blessings. Father, help us to live in the groove of that same love, to be a blessing to others, just as you've been to us. And where you've spoken to us this morning and put your finger on a specific area of our lives, we pray for the strength and the grace to obediently follow where you lead. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.